day great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
And we all need a bit of that. Hey, welcome aboard the Amy the Berkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? We made it to the cusp of the weekend. We'll celebrate with a robust romp through the stacks of country, folk, pop songs, including your Forgotten 45. Yeah, we have side orders of pop culture conversation and inspiration. We may even talk about you-know-who, not showing up you-know-where, and still making all the big news. Just a bit, though. Unfortunately, some sad news to report out of the music world. Boy, these people are just going so fast. It's horrible. Paul Kantner, the founder and lead guitarist of the psychedelic 60s stalwart band Jefferson Airplane, has passed away at the age of 74. We'll have a musical tribute. We'd love to get you involved, too, if you're listening live. It is Friday, January 29th. Wow, the month is rapidly rolling by. 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Whether you're listening live or on podcast, you know we do the 24/7 Twitter tango at AB Writes. And if you want to talk a lot, we got the Facebook page, according to Aurora Open, for today's show, which is, by the way, brought to you in part by Audiophile, music, books, podcasts. Caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also by AT&T, mobilizing your world with great savings. Find out at AT&T.com. And by PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet now features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkaway Show. And we're going to meet a hard-working country singer-songwriter working real hard, 25 years to make a go of the country music scene. Nick Nichols will join us. We'll talk inspiration, aspirations, and how his faith has fueled both his career and his life. In just a moment, first let's sample his song, Speaking of Faith. This is a beauty. It's called God is Bigger Than the World. Nick Nichols opening up a very busy Friday edition of the Amy Beth Arkaway Show.
Some days I don't know the person staring back at me. It could be the weather, it could be I just look better, or maybe the world crept in while I was fast asleep. 'Cause it changes me, and it changes you, so we must stay grounded in God's truth. Because God is bigger than the world, bigger than the universe and all the rocks it hurls. With his own hands he made us, by his own blood he saves us, and one day soon he'll raise us from this earth. Yes, God is bigger than the world. I go to work in the city, I see a homeless man sleeping in a cardboard box while suits just pass him on the street. Another lady is screaming while a man who's daydreaming forgets to take off when the red light turns to green. When life's unfair and faster than we care for it to be, just have faith and believe. Because God is bigger than the world, bigger than the universe and all the rocks it hurls. He's bigger than temptation, sadness and frustration, and one day soon he'll raise us from this earth. Yes, God is bigger than the world. We're always in a hurry, we agonize and worry, not realizing we're not in control. Because God, he's bigger than the world. He's big enough to make us, cares enough to
Thanks for having me.
I'm great, thank you. Happy to have you here. So, Nick, I know you've been going at this music business for a pretty long time. Let's roll back to when you were a kid or when your first jolt of inspiration and music hit you. What was the first song, the first artist you heard that grabbed your attention and made you your heart sing?
Wow. I started taking piano lessons when I was 6 years old, and, you know, early on my idol was Bach. But somewhere in the early 1970s, a wild-eyed, big-haired guy by the name of Barry Manilow came along on the scene, and I went absolutely crazy over his room. I found out at that moment that I was a romanticist, and I began.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually told someone I'm writing a book, and it's called I Am Music, The Story, which will be out this year later, and in part of his book it talks about some of this stuff, and I actually tell people I charted my first song when I was probably about maybe, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, and didn't even know it because I had been playing all this stuff. And my mom walked in one day and heard me playing this and singing this Barry Manilow song. She said, "Do you have the music for that?" I said, "No, I just picked it out." And I realized that I charted my first song. I realize now that back then I just thought I learned a song. So kind of cool. But Barry Manilow and John Denver were probably early inspirations as well as the Beatles. I was always a fan of McCartney and Lennon.
Good for you. So you went for the biggies right off the bat. So these are not country singers
Strong lyrics always got me, so that's what got me writing. I was always a lyricist.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm a writer anyway, so yeah, lyrics are a real pull. And, of course, you have to have the music, though, because if it's a great lyric and the music drags it down, it doesn't work either, so they have to pair perfectly. But, okay, so these are pop icons that you're talking about. 60s, 70s icons. When did country music? I mean, you obviously got that country voice, so you got a country soul going there. But so you weren't really attracted as a kid to country music. That came along later.
It came along later when I was in Clemson University and met a couple of guys that were writing some country and kind of started writing at that point in time. And a lot of it was just, you know, kind of Americana. It was more folk than anything. But then when I got out of out of college and I started to work, it's funny, I worked with a guy. I'd always listened to country music. I mean, my dad and mom were, you know, and my neighbors, they're all big Merle Haggard, George Jones fans. So it's always been a part of my life. It just never been an integral part. But I was working with a guy, an engineer by degree, and one of the guys that I worked with was in a country band. He said, "Hey, man," we got to talking one day. He said, I told him I played keys. He said, "We're looking for a keyboard player." Bang. So I auditioned for the band. I've been with them 33 years. We're now a variety band. We're not doing country. But at that time, we were doing country, and that's how I got really involved in country music and started writing country music. I started touring with a country band back in the early 80s.
That's so fascinating because I didn't expect you to answer that way, you know, given your background.
Yeah, you never know.
Your parents are immersed in the country, into country music, and yet you were really with pop and rock and that kind of stuff, and then you came back to it.
Kind of crazy, but great journey.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think music, I always say this, is the universal because you can cut across all kind of boundaries in terms of genres and break down age barriers, political barriers.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is the universal language that speaks to everybody, and I think that's the best
thing
if you have that gift.
Yeah, you can listen to my song, I Am Music. That one will tell you everything I am. That's the name of the song and the name of the book, and it talks about this I Am Music, and music is everywhere. So that's pretty cool.
Really. And it helps so much, I think. I think it's such an important part of our, integral part of so many of our lives. I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but so many people love music.
Yeah.
One kind or other, and really, as I said, it can break down walls. You could say a lot in a song and play it for people who are so different in their views in life and politics, et cetera, and they can both really like it, maybe for different reasons, and sometimes it can help, you know, break down those barriers, as I said, and forge some kind of common ground. So it's a beautiful
Music has always been a real great healing tool for me. When you go through difficult times, I found, you know, going through difficult times in my life with elderly parents and then just, you know, life situations, my way of dealing with it was through a lot of songs. And I always got my greatest songs from real personal experiences.
Yeah. And then when you share them, other people relate to that and it resonates. And that must be a thrill for you to
they do.
Connect that way.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, talk about your journey, though.
I wouldn't take anything for it.
Yeah. Talk about your journey, because a lot of people, a lot of folks that listen to the show are artists or aspiring artists, and, you know, we talk about the creative process and what it takes, the discipline and, you know, the resilience, frankly, that it takes to if you want to make a career out of it. And you've been trying for a long time, and you've had some success and maybe not as fast an escalation up that ladder of success, so to speak, that you would have liked. But talk a little bit about what inspires you to keep going and what your expectations were and are now.
Well, you know, what inspires me to keep going is that I believe in myself. I believe that God, number one, I believe that God called me to do this. This is my calling in life. This is what I hope to be remembered for. If nothing else, you know, being a good father, being a good family man, a Christian man, and following God's will and doing what I was called to do, my music. I mean, I've been struggling with this stuff for over 30 years. I mean, it's funny. I tell people when I came to Nashville in the early 80s as an artist songwriter, just really starting to learn and sow my oats and feel my way around up here, I was told that I was too young. I'm too young to be a country artist. I need to be older. So I came back in the 90s, and they said, well, are you hats or no hats? I said, well, I'm no hats. They said, we're looking for hats. So I go home, and I start working on a hat act. So I come back in the late 90s, and they say, are you hats or no hats? I said, I'm hats. They said, we're looking for no hats. And when I came back in the 2000s, they said, you're too old. So, but you know what? I never quit. Yeah. I don't care what they say. Because years and years and years ago, I heard little Jimmy Dickens do an interview on the Country Music Channel. This is probably, I mean, way back. We're talking about going back in the mid-80s when I was really just kind of first, my wheels were starting to turn a little bit. And I heard Jimmy Dickens, they said, whoever was interviewing him, I think it was one of the old National Network interviews, Crick and Chase. And they said, "What, Jimmy, if you could give a young aspiring artist and songwriter just a word of wisdom or a thought, what would you say?" He said, two words. He said, don't quit. Never give up. He said, because you have to believe in yourself and you have to keep going. He said, because when you quit, it's over. That's the end of it. He said, if you believe in yourself, he said, keep working at your craft. Never give up. He said, because you will find some success. He said, it may not be the success that you aspire for, but he said it'll be a blessing and it'll be something that you can hang your hat on. And he said, don't quit. He said, don't walk away and say, I ain't doing this because I'm mad because Nashville's stupid and everybody's crazy, and you just can't do that. So that's what's kept me going. And I've had goals. You know, I've had my major goal was to be a major label artist. Well, that's probably not going to happen at my age. But I'm on a great indie label, and I'm getting a lot of radio airplay, and I'm selling a lot of CDs. So I am successful, and the other thing was to get my name out there as a professional writer. I've had a number of songs picked up by some pretty big artists. Tammy Cochran just cut one of ours. She was on Sony Epic. And the other thing was to get myself on TV somehow or another, and my video, High Cost of Loving, is playing all over the world, and it's on CMT Television Network on regular rotation. So
you have
feel like I did
it. For you, so you really have achieved something not too shabby at all. But I know what you're saying, and I think that was the greatest piece of advice, because you're right. No matter what you're doing, don't quit, because I always say you can never lose if you're pursuing it and you're working it and you're getting better and you actually have some work to show, regardless of what happens in terms of quote-unquote tangible external success. You've got the work to show, and it's there, and it's always going to be there.
Exactly.
And you never know when things are going to be visited down the line.
For a young artist today, If I can't speak for the pop market because I'm not a pop singer. I mean, I am. I mean, what our band does, that's all we do is pop and blues and R&B and jazz and classic rock. But I don't pursue that market as an artist. I mean, I'm a country writer. I've written some R&B. I've written some jazz. I write a lot of Christian, a lot of country. But my focal point, which is primarily country and Christian, I'm not a pop singer. But I know about the national market. So if you're trying to be a country artist and you're a young artist, move here. Number one, move here. today's market, everything is not about, it's no longer about artist development. That went out the way with the T model. Today it's social media. So you got to get in town. You got to network. You got to write with people that are writing with big people. You got to get yourself out there, play writers' nights. You got to do some performances. You got to be heard, and you got to stick with it. That's the key to making it in this town today. And plus, you need to be about 25 years old. So. If you're 35, you're pushing the envelope because Nashville. Someone told me, it's really so funny, someone called me the other week and said, hey, Nick, I need a song for an 11-year-old girl. I said, I don't even know what an 11-year-old girl thinks about. My daughter's 35. I said, 11-year-old boys, maybe?
Well, the thing is, though, it's funny because you're right. I'm sure you are right in the main that it's better to fit whatever they're looking for. But then again, there's so many people that come to town who do fit that, so there's all that competition. And sometimes being different, and that might be being older, might make you stand out. I mean, look, there were people that have made it after the quote-unquote expiration date, like K.T. Oslin didn't get on the charts.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think that could possibly happen, you know. And as much as I don't particularly like the new Nashville, I mean, there is a lot. There's some of the stuff that's good, but I'm not, you know, I don't like the mix of hip-hop into Nashville music. I mean, that's really taking the country feel out of it. There are a lot of people that do like it, and I don't criticize the music at all because I think there should be room for everything. But I will say this about the way the Nashville market is, and I've said this to many people. I said, look, if you want to be a successful writer in this town, and you come to town and you're thinking, well, I'm not writing that stuff. I'm just going to write what I'm going to write. I said, hey, if you got a basket, think about it this way. If you got a basket full of oranges and you're in a town that's buying nothing but apples, you better find some apples.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that's a good point. You want to be able to be flexible and work the market as well as be true to your own artistry. I mean, you can probably do both, as you said, write what you really want to write and also try to collaborate with people who and say, well, this is what they want and try to conform to that. I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not selling out.
Nothing wrong with it at all. And that's right.
Find the opportunity.
I'm 59 years old, and I'm writing country rap and bro country. We've had several of them that have been picked up. A couple of them have been picked up, and so a couple others have been pitched out to – one just went out to Brad Paisley, so I mean, you know, we're right in the thick of it. Not my style, but if it's somebody's and it pays, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Well, that's also one of the things that a lot of folks that I've spoken with, and I think, you know this firsthand, if you're not a big star necessarily in Nashville, you can still be a big songwriter, and there's a big living to be made doing that. So, kudos for you to keep going. Yeah, and have that vision and just, you know, have the right attitude. And as you said, it's confidence, it's your own belief, it's your own faith, it's all of those things that spur you on to say, this is what I'm meant to do and I need to do it. It's never going to be an easy road. I think people have to realize that, too. You know, there used to be the old adage. I don't know that I love that adage so much, but people would always say to me, if it's a writer, well, if you have to do it, do it. But if you can find something else to do.
Yeah, what I found out is that passion trumps discouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter how many darts are thrown at you, you just keep right on moving. You just don't pay any attention. You say, well, maybe this person didn't like it, but somebody out there does, and I'm going to find that person.
Exactly. Well, think about it. Think about how many people who are successful at anything in life, but we're talking mostly in the arts now, but in other things as well, who have been turned down and kicked out, and people said, no, I don't want it, no, I don't want it. I mean, think about all the writers, the books that have been rejected that then became bestsellers or really great acclaim, award-winning books or whatever. It really has to hit the right person at the right time. And you have to keep going.
You remember the song "The Gambler"?
Yeah,
the Gambler that Kenny Rogers cut that was written here in town. I'm trying to think of the guy's name that wrote it. He's one of Nashville's most famous writers, Don Schlitz. Don pitched that song around town about 20 years, and nobody wanted it. And then one day Kenny Rogers heard it, and it was
there
history.
There you go.
You just never
know. I'm sure Don's a pretty rich man by now.
Yeah, even the great George Jones, there was a show on TV a few years ago called The Greatest 100 Country Songs of All Time. Obviously, number two was He Stopped Loving Her Today. Number one was Stand By Your Man, Tammy Wynette. Well, George didn't want to cut the song. They pitched it to him. He said, I don't want to cut that. That's too sad. People won't buy it. It's just too tear-jerking. And they finally convinced him to cut it. And it was the second greatest all-time country song ever released.
I never heard anybody say that a country song, especially a classic country song, was too sad, because that's what you're known
especially
for.
Especially George, because he was the king of sad songs. But even if a song is too sad for George Jones, then it's got to be sad.
It's got to be real sad, yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about what you were talking about earlier with how there is sort of this two schools of thought, and I guess kind of a bit of a feud going on between the old school Nashville sound and the new music, which kind of bridges the gap. I'm not so sure about the hip-hop influences, but I guess they're there. But, you know, pop music and a lot of these people being crossover artists and some of the older school artists saying, well, Taylor Swift, for example, isn't really country because she's got a lot of music on
the
pop.
Yeah, she's now pop.
What is your take on What's your take on all of this? You sound like you're an old school person, but you got room for everything.
I think there should be room for everything. I think fortunately Sirius Radio and Cumulus have opened up the door for some of the older artists to be heard, and obviously independent radio like you guys. I mean, they, you know, it's been opened up so that people can be heard, because major Nashville, major Billboard radio stations primarily want to hear more Matty and Tay, more Tim, you know, not only Tim McGraw, but more Blake Shelton, more Luke Bryan, more this, more that, more Sam Hunt, more the rap. And the publishing companies that I'm working with, I mean, almost every artist that I get says, great songs, hip. The word of the day, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but the new word here is called hick-hop, H-I-C-K-H-O-P.
Uh-huh.
That's country rap. And the other one is bro country. And it says that on the pitch sheets. That's what they're looking for. But I just think that there ought to be room. I mean, there's such a large market of fans out there that still love Merle Haggard and still love, you know, artists like Willie Nelson and even artists like Kenny Rogers and Alabama and that were way papers, you know, for the new movement of country music. And I think there should be room for that, and I think that people should still be allowed to hear it. But the record labels don't want to put that out, and I think their sales is evident of it, because, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if you had a number one hit in this town, you probably had a million sellers. Today, you can have a number one hit with 40,000 sales. So the record labels are losing money.
Yeah, because the whole thing has changed and everything digital and streaming and all of those.
Streaming and ripping off and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's all
happening. I mean, that's tough. But I think, you know, the problem, I think, is that fans, the radio stations, and I worked on terrestrial radio too, with very tight formatting. I mean, they stick to such a tight format sometimes that I don't necessarily think the fans really respond to. I mean, they do it. I guess they justify it because they research things to death to the point where the humanity is sucked out of it. And I think there's a problem there, because I think the fans are crying out for choice and for more of an eclectic blend, which is why. You know, shows that I do now, where it allows me the freedom to play a variety of things, are popular.
Right.
And I think, as you said, getting, you know, into more of the indie market, and there's so many more opportunities now to find it. It's just that you have to find it, and you can't necessarily quantify it. And forever, I don't think fans cared so much about labels. You know, it's the same thing with literature. Publishers care about labels, but the readers don't care about labels. But they have to put it somewhere. You know, you have to find a shelf for it or a slot for it. You know.
I know, and nobody, you know. The comments that we've heard on some of the stuff that we've written by some of the major labels in town say, man, we absolutely love this music, but we can't get radio to play it.
Mm.
You know, radio thinks it's too outdated. Well, you know what? They're shoving this stuff down people's throats. A lot of them are, and that's all they're hearing. So you're right. I'm sure they are crying out for it. There's got to be – and, you know, here's a classic example of the mistake they're making to me. Look at the Rolling Stones. And look at the Eagles. I mean, God bless it that we lost Glenn Frey. I mean, what a horrific tragedy. I mean, that one hit me personally really hard, because I am a massive Eagle fan, seen them about 8 or 10 times. But there's a reason why, even in today's market, that the Eagles' greatest hits went platinum for over 30 years running. I mean, people love that music. I mean, and maybe it is dated, but it doesn't matter it's dated. It's great stuff. So that there is a market for it. There's a market for it. So us independents have had to find our own markets.
Yeah, you got to. You got to do that. And fortunately, as you said, with social media, with the internet, with, you know, more opportunities for indie artists to get out there and make pave their own way, and you catch on, and then who knows? Maybe a major label, if it's still up and running and has some money to throw at you, might do it. You don't know. But
I never believe anything is not an option. I always believe that God is, my personal feeling is, God's in control of this, and if it's meant for it to happen for me, there's not one person on God's earth that can stop it. But if it's not meant to happen, then there's not one person that's going to make it happen. So I follow that philosophy.
Well, it's a lot of things are happening for you, as we said, maybe not exactly in the time frame or the measure in which you thought it was going to happen, but it is happening. So, you know, you got to take every opportunity and every success and be proud of that. And you keep going. Now,
yeah.
You have a website. I know it's – is it your own website or you're on the Reverb Nation?
Well,
is that
I'm
your page?
I'm working on a brand new website that's going to have all of my songs on it and where you can buy my albums. That's under construction right now. We're already working on trying to get that set up. That'll be set up hopefully in a few months. That's not quite ready to go yet. But for now, you can hear my music on SoundCloud while it's still out there available, and also on Reverb Nation. I'm on Facebook and Nashville Ear. I'm on Nashville Music, the Nashville Music page. Several social media sites. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me there. I'm on Instagram. I'm on anything you can find, pretty much. CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. You can find my music. We're cutting two brand new albums this year, one Christian, one country. We're in the market, in the middle of trying to record them and write for them right now. So a lot coming up, and the book's coming out. So I'm really excited about all of that.
A lot of stuff going on. We'll post some of those links so folks can find you. Let's set up for this other song that we have for you. It's called The Other Side. What's the backstory for this one?
Oh, wow. This one's a personal song. This one was written in the memory of two really close friends of mine, Carl Wynn, who was my college roommate, sweet mate, and my friend Hope Whitmire, both who died of cancer. Hope sang in a praise. I used to actually lead a praise and worship group. And she and her husband, Furman, were a part of my praise and worship group. We were all very close friends. And she died of ovarian cancer, and Carl died of kidney cancer. And both of them were horrific losses to me as far as friendship and personal tragedies. And, you know, like I said, everything, when something like that happens to me and happens around me, the first thing that happens, a song comes out of it. And The Other Side was born from that, those experiences, as a memory and dedication song to their lives.
That's a beautiful tribute to your friends, and I'm sure it'll connect with a lot of folks. It's called The Other Side. Nick Nichols. Hey, listen, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you the best. You got lots going on. Please come back and see us, will you?
Thanks, Amy. I appreciate you having me. I'd love to do that.
Take care. Nick Nichols, The Other Side on the Amy Beth Erkley Show. Thank you, Nick.
My time here is almost gone. Soon I will be moving on. Glad you came to see me off. I'll miss you all. All I have, I leave behind. 'Cause I won't need it where I'm bound. Only love will go with me. For love alone has set me free. I'm looking for the other side. So many friends I know I'll find. You miss me too, and some will cry, but I'll see you on the other side. I hope my memories never die. Time will soon not mean a thing. I can't wait to get my wings. I'm looking for side.
From Nick Nichols, The Other Side, on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Thanks again, Nick. We will post his links as well as a link to the show when it's archived for podcast. And don't forget, they all are. Reach out with your views. AB writes on the Twitter feed. If you happen to be listening live on Friday, January 29th, 347-857-4505 is also your ticket to the show. So I want to wish a happy belated birthday to one of the folk Americana icons, Lucinda Williams, celebrated earlier this week. On January 26th, 63 candles on her cake. She was right on top. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Welcome aboard.
Not a day goes by, I don't think about you. You left your mark on me. It's permanent. A tattoo pierces the skin and the blood runs through. Oh, my baby. The way you move is right in time. The way you move is right in time. It's right in time with me. I stand over the stove in the kitchen. Watch the water boil and I listen. Turn off the television.
heart of mine has been hardened like a stone. It might take some time to give back what is gone, but I'm moving on. And you don't hold my dreams like you did before. Oh, and I will curse your name. Well, I heard the news that you were back in town and just passing through to claim you're lost and found. But I'm over you, and there ain't nothing there you can say or do to take what you did there. You got nerve.
Albums they have to show for it, and songs, indeed. And Lucinda Williams, stalwart on the folk Americana scene, right on time. It is the Amy Beth Berkley Show, Twitter feed abuzz at AB Writes, talking about our interview with, our conversation really, I never call them interviews because I like to just have a free-flowing conversation with our guest, Nick Nichols. Kyle says, a great interview. Nick is a great symbol of perseverance, and you always say that's so important. Yeah, I do. I talk about the cocktail for artistic success, and it includes luck, talent, discipline and perseverance, not necessarily in any particular order. It's all individual. But those last two, discipline and perseverance, are probably the most important, and those are the ones that you can really control. If you work it, if you show up, you got a shot. Of course, sometimes if you don't show up, you got a shot too, like Donald Trump, right? I don't know. We can talk a little bit about this. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's crazy to me how much time the media spent this week talking about will he or won't he show up at the Fox debate. You know, his big contention was that Megyn Kelly, who was one of the moderators, was kind of out to get him because she asked a very tough question, but a fair one, I think, in the first debate. So he threatened to take his marbles and go home, and he did. But he held another event across town because he's a master at marketing and hucksterism and showmanship, and he pulled off this event, allegedly raised over $6 million for veterans, so you can't complain about that. Hopefully they get it. Of course, there are a lot of veterans groups who are not pro-Trump because he hasn't exactly been kind to veterans in terms of either giving money or making room for them in his own world. Infamously known for trying to get rid of them because homeless veterans who were trying to panhandle near his Trump Tower were a nuisance and, you know, not, you know, destroying the feel of his affluent area. So, you know, really, you got to see that film. We talked with the producer, Libby Handrus, some weeks back. Go see that movie. I mean, you don't have to go anywhere. You just have to look it up on the Internet. It's available for you. TrumpTheMovie.com, I believe, or TrumpMovie.com. Check it out because the tagline is so true. The old Trump, the new Trump, it's the same Trump. His chicanery, what he stands for. I mean, the media, he plays into the media's hands, and they let him do it. Epic fail. I think Edward R. Murrow was rolling over in his grave this week, the amount of coverage they gave to whether or not he'd show or not. It's crazy to me, but that's just me. You can have an opinion. A.B. writes in the Twitter feed, phone line 347-857-4505, and let me know about it, but I just think it's nuts. Meanwhile, his old gig, The Celebrity Apprentice, has been handed over to a guy who knows he can't run for president because he was born in Austria and his parents were Austrian, so there's no disputing it. At one time, they were actually talking about changing the Constitution to allow Arnold Schwarzenegger to run for president. Remember that a few years ago? Anyway, he's taken over the old gig, Celebrity Apprentice, and they've announced the so-called celebrities that will be joining him this season. I always say when you talk about these reality shows, you got to take a celebrity with an invisible pen and write it in a small C, because I don't know, I haven't heard of most of these. There's 16 contenders. Lala Ali, we know who she is. I think she was on already, wasn't she? Maybe not. She's a boxer. Brooke Burke Charvet, never heard of her. Eric Dickerson, don't know who that is. Boy George, well, we know who Boy George is, of course, from the Culture Club back in the 80s. Matt Eastman, don't know. Carrie Keegan, don't know. Carson Kressley, I do know he used to be one of the Queer Eyes for the Straight Guy hosts and has since become a reality show stalwart, Dancing with the Stars, etc. Lisa Leslie, John Lovitz. Oh, poor John Lovitz. He's cast in the Gary Busey role as a good actor in the has-been slot. Vince Neil, Nicole Snooki Pelosi, who is part of the Jersey Shore cast. Kyle Richards, one of the Housewives, Real Housewives franchises. Shale Sonnen, don't know who that is. Portia Williams. She also won a Real Housewives, I think, right? Ricky Williams, not sure. And Courtney Wilson. She's also becoming a reality show stalwart. I think she did one of the cooking channel shows. So there we go. Also joining Schwarzenegger in the boardroom as an advisor is his nephew, entertainment attorney Patrick Knapp Schwarzenegger. So far, NBC has yet to set a premiere date. I think I can wait on that one. What about you?
Celebrity or real person?
A real person.
Male or female?
Female.
Give me a second here. I'm usually pretty good at this.
Waters, when things don't go my way, get community service, no matter which law I break. I'll make the supermarket tabloids, they'll write some awful stuff. But the more they run my name down, the more my price goes up. 'Cause when you're a celebrity, it's adios reality. No matter what you do, people think you're cool just 'cause you're on TV. I can fall in and out of love, have marriages that barely last a month. When they go down the drain, I blame it on the fame and say it's just so tough.
Yellow shades, and I'll put on my tie jeans. To be censored. like the rubber turning on the ground. Always lost and nowhere found. I'm just a traveler on this earth. Show out my heart behind the pocket of my shirt. I just keep rolling till I'm in the dirt. 'Cause I'm a traveler.
Talk about a guy who was in the trenches for years as a Nashville singer-songwriter with some success there, breaking out as a performer big time. Oh, yeah, big winner at the CMAs, and I suspect will fare well at the Grammys. Title track from his breakthrough solo effort, Traveler. Indeed. And a country pop forgotten 45 for Donna fits perfectly today. Country Boy from Glen Campbell. You got your feet in L.A., but your mind's on Tennessee. Miranda Lambert, too, her one of her great story songs, Famous in a Small Town. And Brad Paisley, tongue firmly in cheek, talking about being a celebrity. Mm-hmm. It is the Amy Beth Erkley Show Twitter feed, a buzz about our interview with Nick Nichols, Shay chiming in. Another great show, great conversation, and I really like Nick's spirit. Songs are good, too. Yeah, thank you, Shay. And Les says, I think his story will resonate with so many people. I really enjoy the tunes. We'll find out more about them. Thank you for having him on. Well, thank you for listening, Les. I appreciate it as we continue to grow the Nick Nichols Fan Club. That's what we like about it around here. It is the Amy Beth Erkley Show, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, we lost another one of the musical greats from the 60s and 70s. Paul Kantner passed away at 74. He was the founder, the big energy behind Jefferson Airplane. He passed away after suffering complications from a heart attack just a few weeks after Jefferson Airplane was announced to receive a Lifetime Achievement Grammy next month at the award show. You know, Airplane was among the first and most commercially successful of the San Francisco psychedelic rock groups of the 60s. Their anthems resonated with the counterculture in the so-called Summer of Love in 1967. Kantner once said, San Francisco is 49 square miles surrounded by reality. That kind of sums it up. They had anthems like White Rabbit and, of course, Somebody to Love. Remembering Paul Kantner on the Amy Beth Erkley Show.
When the truth is found to be
Is the applause sign not working again?
Find that offensive.
Riches buried there.
On the Amy Beth Arco Show, who passed away at the age of 94, the character actor best known for roles in the classic The Godfather movie, as well as Barney Miller and his own show, Fish, passed away at the age of 94 earlier this week. Whew, so many losses, right? Other great songs, One Hit Wonder from Coven, One Tin Soldier for Leanne, a forgotten 45, One Took Over the Line, Sweet Jesus, It's That Kind of Friday for Sally, Brewer and Shipley's classic, and a pair marking the passing of Paul Kantner, the co-founder, lead guitarist, spiritual guru of Jefferson Airplane and later Jefferson Starship, which I think he was gone by the time it had more fully into Starship in the 90s. Their biggies from the psychedelic 60s, White Rabbit and Somebody to Love. And, you know, they had a longevity there. Paul and Marty were partners in arguments. He had his ex-wife, Grace Slick, as a front woman. But they were resilient, and they bended and found common ground throughout a few decades. You talk about making the most of your time and being true to your art and working in the marketplace at the same time. I think somewhere in there the folks involved in that enterprise did that. That harkens back to our conversation with Nick Nichols. On the Twitter feed, folks are still buzzing about it. Love to play with you guys in real time on Twitter because I know we have so many more folks who listen on podcasts, so thanks for chiming in. As has Shay, another great interview. Really enjoy Nick's spirit, and his music is good, too. Yeah, it is. See, we're getting you fans, Nick. Les says, interesting backstory. I'm sure a lot of folks will resonate. He keeps going, and the music tells the story. Thanks for having him on. Well, thanks for listening, Les. Johnny Fever's hanging over chiming in, one of our heartier regulars that haven't written in a while, but I've been listening. Love your style, as always. Great show. Thank you, Johnny Fever. I do appreciate it. You know who's not appreciating something that Saturday Night Live has been doing for a while? Bristol Palin. You heard about this, right? She wasn't too happy about that classic skit that Tina Fey cooked up in response to Sarah Palin's rambling stream of consciousness endorsement of Donald Trump last week. Most of us may have thought it was spot on, but not Bristol. She said, it's getting old and pathetic, and it's like nails on a chalkboard. This is what she wrote in her blog. She also made fun of the fact that the little shimmering Liza Minnelli-type sparkly jacket or sweater that Sarah was wearing was sold out, so Tina Fey couldn't buy it. They had to have the customers at Saturday Night Live whip up one, which they did. So she put it on her blog, who wore it best? Sarah or Tina? I guess she doesn't have that many loyal blog visitors because a lot of folks chimed in or not. Sarah Kuda fans, I guess. 87.1% of the people responding said Tina Fey wore the sweater best. Oh, well. Too bad, Bristol. Keep trying to be in the news, as your whole family is wont to do. Oh, here's a forgotten 45, apropos of nothing, I guess. It's one for Marianne. It's called She's a Fool by Leslie Gore on the Amy Beth Arquis Show. Pure coincidence, really.
sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
Everybody was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
Everybody's
dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
King Harvest on the 8th and Beth Arkley Show of Forgotten 45. Or Marcy and Ned, thanks for checking in. And She's a Fool from Leslie Gore. We've been playing a heap and helping of those Forgotten 45s. You got one? Hankering for an oldie you haven't heard in a while? By all means, reach out via the Twitter feed at abwrites, hashtag Forgotten45, or send us a love note over at the website, amybethsarkowy.com. That's the place to go to with your inspiration to action, challenge, success stories. Leland in hipster Brooklyn, he says. Is writing in, says, you're really popular down here. Lots of folks love your show. Great style. Funny, witty, and wise. Great tunes, too. Well, I like that. Funny, witty, and wise. I'll take that one. Thank you, Leland. Says, I've been on and off with a novel for a while. I got started with the challenge some months back. It is sticking, I hope. I'm working it, and hopefully I'll be in a good groove for a long time. Well, I hope so. Leland, keep us posted. Keep working it, because it will work, I think, for you. Hey, if it has worked for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. Reach out to the website. Again, it's amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. Tell us about it. We'll give you a shout-out. On the other hand, you need some cajoling. Let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one always on me. Give me a week or so to connect, and we will do that. And while you're at the website, you can also peruse my stories, The Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time and Dead Silent, available for ebook and paperback, book 3. Yeah, it's getting closer. Work on the cover already. It's slated for this spring. So dive in now. You can also check out our Cozy Cat Press group mystery. I'm proud to be a part of that. It's called Chasing the Codex. It's kind of a cozy thriller. So dive in and enjoy your weekend reads. So we're almost coming to the end of the line, but not quite. Here are the Wilburys. Britannia, I'm Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
Well, it's all right. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got someone to lay with.
Somewhere down the road when somebody plays
the end of the line,
purple haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line.
I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that.
And
it don't matter if you're by my side. I'm satisfied.
Well, it's alright.
show. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Nick Nichols. We'll post his links, of course, and a link to the podcast at the end of the show when it's ready. Thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML at headquarters. Thank you for playing with us in real time. Don't forget, you can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter, at Radio Trudy. Follow me for the 24-7 conversation at AB Writes, and all roads lead back to the website, amybetharkowy.com. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowy Show. We're going to leave you with one that marks the sad events of 30 years ago, January 28th, 1986. Remember where you were when we heard about the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. I was negotiating in school, and my first job as a baby broadcaster when we heard the news of that disaster. Summed up with such grace by John Denver, a man who loved flying so much and actually, ironically and sadly, passed away years later in a solo flight accident himself. But this is a beautiful one. It's called Flying for Me. John Denver on the Amy Beth Arkowy Show. Take care. We'll talk next time.
Well, I guess that you probably know by now I was one who wanted to fly. I wanted to ride on that arrow of fire right up into heaven. And I wanted to go for every man, every child, every mother of children. I wanted to carry the dreams of all people right up the stars. And I prayed that I'd find an answer there, or maybe I would find a song giving a voice to all of the hearts that cannot be heard. And for all of the ones who live in fear, and all of those who stand apart, my being there would bring us a little step closer together. They were flying for me, they were flying for everyone. They were flying for me, brighter day for each and everyone. They gave us their light, they gave us their spirit and all they could be. They were flying. They were flying for me. And I wanted to wish upon the Milky Way and ask upon a falling star. I wanted to give myself and free myself, enjoy myself with it all. Tomorrow is real. Children of spaceship Earth, the future belongs to us all. She was flying for me, she was flying for everyone. She was trying to see a brighter day for each and everyone. She gave us her light, she gave us her spirit and all she could be. They were flying for everyone. They were trying to see a brighter day for each and everyone. They gave us their life.